This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and I'm joined by Julie Flowers, candidate for Councilor at Large, City of Beverly. And the election's coming up later this year. And Julie, I guess, why run? And why are you seeking office? As a first-time office seeker, I should say. Yeah.
Yes. It's interesting. Running for office was something that for much of my life, even as a child, I remember thinking that was kind of a dream of mine. It was something I wanted to do. It's actually what I thought I would do when I went to college. One of my essays was about how I wanted to run for office. And then my life ended up just sort of taking a different path. And I thought, well, you know, I'll put that on the shelf. And I've gone on, you know, a different path. And then just recently, I started to think about maybe it doesn't need to be something that I've just put on the shelf and forgotten about. Maybe there is a way to offer my services, my time, to stand up and put myself out there in the community that I care about and let that be a part of the work that I do. I do work that's really involved in the community at the church, but I also feel like there's a way that I've spent a lot of time being a concerned citizen and kind of an advocate on the sidelines, and I am a very faithful voter, and I thought, well, maybe I could do more than that. You know, I've had a way of sort of assuming, you know, other people have got this. They're running for office. They're filling these roles. They're doing this and giving of their time. And I thought, well, maybe I could put myself out there, and it's that I could offer to be of service.
You kind of get rid of the middleman. You go right to the top, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe just, to say I'm willing to put myself out there. And if voters in Beverly decide that I'm the right candidate who would be able to listen to them and help work with other members of the city council and with the mayor to continue to build on the things that are great about our city, then I would love to be of service to them in that way.
Let me ask you about this. So you're a minister, obviously, First Baptist Church on Cabot Street in Beverly. Do you anticipate that will be an issue in itself, in other words, somehow a negative? But yet, on the other hand, a lot of folks realize that churches have huge missions to serve the community. So you have that balance there, or are there a story, I suppose, to tell?
You know, I think that it would be very fair for voters to question, how do we feel about, can we trust you as a minister, especially if we're not people of faith, to serve in a municipal office and not to impose your faith on us? And I think that's a really fair question. So I'm glad that you brought this up. I absolutely think that it's possible to kind of be in both worlds, to do both things. For me, in my journey, part of what's informed my values and my sort of perspective on social justice and wanting to work together and care for people comes from my faith. And I also respect that people come to their morals, values, how they see the world and where they want to work to care for other people and meet other people in many different ways. For some people, that has to do with their faith. For others, it does not. And I think where we can meet is on the issues, the things that affect the people of Beverly, what we want for our children, for our community, for our elders, and to be able to meet on those things, regardless of how we arrived at our values and our opinions. And so I'm glad you brought that up. I anticipate voters will ask. I hope that they will, if that's a concern for them.
You know, I'm also thinking of another twist to this, is that your own parishioners here might have a flip side view as well. Think, you know, they come to church and it's more of a spiritual thing, while others come to church and they see more of a community involvement and more of a mission outside of to live their faith. I sound like I'm getting too religious here, but you know what I'm saying, right? And so you could get it from within and from without, I suppose.
You know, when I was considering whether or not I would run, one of the things I wanted to do was think sort of about two prongs. I wanted to think about, if I were to run and get elected, I wanted to make sure that I felt I could faithfully fulfill the obligation for the people, citizens of Beverly. So thinking about it from that perspective. And I also wanted to think about it with the congregation and think through with my colleagues. I have two clergy colleagues here, and with a few people in the congregation who hold leadership roles, to see how this would feel to them. And so I spent some time testing that out. I think one of the things that is helpful in this context at First Baptist Beverly is that it is a church where people have really tended to want to be involved in their community and to take those values that they hold dear out into the world, and not in a proselytizing kind of way, but just if your faith or any other part of your life journey informs you to want to work to care for others or build up the community, then there's a way to do that. So First Baptist folks, and this is long before I became a minister here, you know, this is their track record, but they have started affordable housing for the well elderly and congregant living for the elderly here in Beverly. Harbor Lighthouse was their first project, still exists. Turtle Creek and Turtle Woods up in Centerville. So I think that there is a way that for this church, being able to be involved in the community also includes that kind of advocacy and working together on a municipal level with leaders to try to help build up the community.
Gotcha. Now, you kind of touched on this, but affordability. Now, that's one of your major issues that you're concerned about for Beverly. Explain that, and what does that mean?
So Beverly actually has done a very good job with affordable housing in terms of the percentage that we have of units in the city. So right now, Beverly's at about 12% total units are at affordable level. And in terms of being compared to our neighbors here on the North Shore, that's a pretty good track record. And I really appreciate the work that's been done by leaders already at City Hall to really focus on this issue, because I think all of us can recognize that housing costs on the North Shore are high. So that's if you want to own a home, but that's also even if you want to rent. And so it can be very difficult for families if they're a little bit lower income level. Also can be difficult for seniors, even if they've lived in Beverly all of their lives. It can be difficult to be able to remain here or to age in place in the case of seniors if you're trying to move to a rental kind of situation. Market rent is very high. And so I've been thinking about ways that we as a community can continue to work on that great track record that we have of keeping a number of affordable units, both apartments for elders, for families, because I think it's important to be able to keep people who want to be in Beverly here. It makes our community strong when we can bring more people in and we're not pricing them out. And so I think that's something that I would like to help be a part of, continuing to keep our eye on that.
One of the biggest or the biggest budget item for a city is schools. Mm-hmm. And so, Beverly schools have a good track record, I think, you know, and as far as, you know, you got the new middle school that's yep. being built. You just completed the new high school not that long ago and so on. I'm less familiar with the elementaries, but, but those are the two big ones, I guess.
Yep.
And so what are your thoughts on schools? And I know it's, you know, I know you have a school committee and so on, but yet it's something that counselors do kind of keep an eye on.
Yes. And I have a 5-year-old son who just started at Hannah Elementary School. And so from an elementary school perspective, we've been incredibly happy with the community at Hannah. And I know each Beverly Elementary School has its own flavor and its own community. And I know people at all different elementary schools, and they're just thrilled with it. And as you mentioned, there's a new middle school coming online, and there's the high school, which was a really exciting project when it was finished. Beverly does have a very strong school district. And, you know, again, that's a credit to people who've been working on that for years, school committee and concerned citizens and the administration in City Hall. And I think one of the concerns that is the flip side of the affordability question is that people will wonder, if we bring in more affordable units that bring in more families, will we be able to continue to provide the kind of level of education for each student that we want to be able to provide? And so I think that's a really valid question. One of the things that I think is important is that the superintendent, the school committee, the current administration in City Hall are all looking very hard at that. And so some of the new affordable units that are being proposed, for example, on Sawyer Road and Tozier Road, that intersection, it's been very carefully thought about so that the numbers bear out that it would probably bring in 55 or so students on average. And there's a way to support that within the school system. The kind of zoning that it's being done with also allows for the state to contribute to help cover some of that cost. So I think there are very creative ways that people can think about and are thinking about already in Beverly to be able to work on affordability, but also support the schools and to support the school committee in their work of trying to continue to provide a really excellent education to each student.
The downtown area where the church is located on Cabot Street, and there is the so-called Arts District now with the, you know, the Montserrat School of Art, Cabot Theater, renovated Cabot Theater, and so on. And of course, all the other activities that kind of, you know, support that or are part of the so-called Arts District. Yes. Maybe some thoughts on that, because I know that that's important to you.
the downtown area definitely is something that's important to me. I'm here every day and I get to kind of see it evolve. And I think evolution is a good word for it, because in the past few years, I think Beverly's downtown has been changing and growing and really moving in a great direction. Not only have new small businesses been popping up, I was at the Atomic Cafe just now, which is a favorite Beverly small business, but also while I was there, ran into one of the owners of two stores that are on Cabot Street now, Roost, which was formerly only in Salem's, now in Beverly, and also Fieldhouse. And those have just, I think, are sort of emblematic of the kind of evolution happening on Beverly's main streets. And I think it's really exciting to have these small business owners, very unique businesses coming in. And that includes also a lot of art-focused kind of businesses. Right across the street from the church, we have the 222 Cabot Studio and Gallery. And that's a relatively newer, it's not a new building, but it's a new gallery. And it's a wonderful just collective of all different types of artists. I have a friend of a friend who's a professional photographer. Her gallery is there, but I've had the chance to go in and just see there's a real mix. There's photographers, there's people who make jewelry, there's painting and sort of traditional kinds of art. So to think about not only the small businesses, but the kinds of art-themed small businesses that are popping up in Beverly and driving this Beverly Arts District, I think is great for the city and sort of creates a very unique flavor. And Montserrat College of Art being here certainly contributes to that. I remember being at a presentation by the president of Montserrat, Steve Immerman, and he was talking about the high percentage of Montserrat graduates who stay in Beverly. And I thought that's just fascinating, because for my experience, you know, I went to college, most of us didn't stay right there in Wellesley where I was. We came back to where we had lived before. We went on to new jobs. But to think about students entering so fully into the life of a community where their school is that they then stay, and in this case, I think really enhance the arts district and the arts feel of the city, I think that makes Montserrat a tremendous asset to the city. I also think it's exciting to think about what these young people and these young artists are bringing to our city. So I'm excited to continue to work with all of these different partners, with our local artists, with the school, but to enhance our arts district. I think that's a great thing for Beverly.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing that you point out about those students, because you can see it happening in places like, you went to the University of New Hampshire, went up to Maine. Oh, they loved it up there. That's why they went to school up there. They decided to stay. That's one thing, but this is just a little bit different, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so, because if you walk down Cabot Street, some of the newer businesses that have popped up, the Art Exchange is one example, those are sort of directly tied to Montserrat alums, and it's just really fascinating to see their touch on the community and see us evolving towards more of an art-centered place. And you mentioned the Cabot, which I think it's wonderful for Beverly that's been reopened, and that's obviously bringing a whole different kind of art that's not visual art necessarily, but lots of music, community presentations, comedians. It's been very vibrant. You drive by there on any weekend night and it's just crowds out the door, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah. And obviously those kinds of things attract people. And so you have people walking Cabot Street, sure, you know, after 8 or 9 o'clock, which is different than it was 25 years ago. I'm guessing, you know, down in Beverly here. Yeah.
And I think more and more restaurants have opened up. Right. You can see kind of the restaurant life increasing in Beverly too, and a lot more variety. And it's exciting to see this vibrant feel here on Cabot. And
you're quite the ambassador for the business community here, Julie.
You know, I think it's being on Cabot Street. I really enjoy having my pick of restaurants. It's really nice. Okay. Yeah.
All within a short walk.
A short walk.
Yeah, we're talking with Julie Flowers, who's a candidate for a councilor at large, City of Beverly. Maybe one other issue here, and that would be a general issue, but an issue that, you know, councilors deal with, you know, senators, congressmen, you know, executive branch folks also deal with: environment. So what's your take on environmental issues, conservation, those things?
I think it's a really pressing issue right now, and not just for Beverly. I think all of us are aware that our world, our environment is precious, and we all have a part to play in helping to preserve what we have for future generations. One thing that I really have appreciated in Beverly is that there has been work done, particularly I'm thinking of Councillor Estelle Rand from Ward 2, has pushed some of the issues about conservation and environment. And I would love to see Beverly continue down that path of thinking together about how we can continue to help care for and preserve the earth that we share. One of the ways that I think we could begin to tackle that is thinking together as a community about how we could conserve our water. Beverly is lucky to have a good water supply and a system that's built up and has existed for quite a while that keeps us with reliable water. But also, if we could think together about how we could conserve it and do education around that, talk to each other, maybe the city could work, we could work together to provide residents with some tools to conserve water, particularly during the summer months, particularly during a drought, to help carry us through. But not just to carry us through, to think about for the future, for the long term. Because as I said, Beverly is in a happy position of having a great water supply that and reservoirs that prepare us to get through a drought. But to think about, even if there is water to come out of my tap, is there a way that I could conserve it for future generations? And so I would love to enter into some conversations. Again, I would be honored to do that with other counselors, with the administration, and with the residents of Beverly, just together to think creatively about how we could do some of that work.
Well, hopefully a lot of folks are listening to you, Julie. But I know one of the things we talked about before we started this was you would like to be going around listening to the residents of Beverly. So maybe as a final question, maybe tell us about what you have planned to do that, to hear from the residents of Beverly.
Yes. Thank you for asking that. As I said to you before, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about Beverly. I love Beverly. I grew up here. And I think it's not enough for me to come to this with my own thoughts and opinions about this city that we all love. I really want to be able to get out and meet people, of course, at their doors. As the summer goes on, I'll be going around to all the different wards, knocking on doors, chatting with voters, introducing myself to those I don't know. I certainly know a lot of people in Beverly, but I don't know everybody, and I would love to get to know a lot more people. But I also would like to do some intentional listening, bringing to this not only my own ideas, but really getting to hear from people in different wards in Beverly. And so as the summer starts to unfold, I plan to set up some different just intentional kind of listening gatherings in every ward. My hope is to do sort of a morning and then an evening session in each ward. So if people are at work, can't make a morning, they could certainly come after work. And just to be available at a local coffee shop, a cafe, a Dunkin' Donuts, whatever is sort of a gathering place for that ward, and let people know that I'll be there at that time and invite them just to stop by. I would love to hear people's thoughts, hopes, dreams for the city that we share.
Gotcha. Anything else you want to share with us about your candidacy, about running for counselor?
Just that I really feel excited about having the privilege of doing this. I look forward to meeting people in Beverly, and I grew up here and loved it and moved back here actually when my son was born, just a little bit after. And part of that was because I really wanted him to have the kind of community that I had experienced growing up. And it was about the schools, but it was about so much more than the schools. Beverly's schools are strong, but Beverly is just a really unique community. It's beautiful, of course. It's on the water. But it's the people and the way that people really feel a sense of home here. And I would love to be a part of helping to think about how we can continue to build on that and welcome more people in and grow on what we have.
All right. Well, Julie, great talking with you. Best of luck with the campaign, and we'll be in touch soon, I hope.
Thank you so much. I would love to be in touch.
Okay. Julie Flowers, the candidate for Counselor-at-Large, City of Beverly. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO News Sports.